going to consider four soul-searching questions asked by our Savior of his own. Last week, they were questions primarily about what other people felt. But this week, these are personal questions to those who are Christ's own. There is always one like Judas Iscariot in the crowd. So when it says he asked the 12, he is asking representatively those that profess faith in him. And all of them did have genuine faith in Christ except Judas Iscariot. But we'll look at it that way. 16 verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And you have manuscript authority enough to take it that way. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, John chapter 11. That question is, "Whom do you say that I am?" John 11, verse 21. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, has died. And finally, after a delay, the Lord Jesus is present. And it says in verse 21, "Martha therefore said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world." Now, turn back to chapter 6. Our Savior has fed 5,000, and now he's telling them that he is the bread of life. He keeps unfolding truths concerning his person. And verse 60, "Many therefore of the disciples said, when they heard this, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 66, "Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus said therefore unto the 12, and let me interject here, the question he asked is expecting an answer in a certain direction. He's expecting an answer, no. I'm going to read it as it is. "Jesus therefore said unto the 12, Would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? And the last, in chapter 21, John 21. Verse 15. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Tend my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so glad that thy Son personally attends to the training of those who are his disciples. He knows the true disciples, and he knows the false disciples. He knows how long some shall follow him, and he knows when some will turn back from him. We remember his words. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. We are glad of that. We are so glad, Father, that you made it possible for us to know that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. And we rejoice that Jesus knows in truth that we are his sheep. He knows whether we are goats pretending to be sheep as well. So, Father, from the questions that thy Son asked to search out their souls, we pray that our souls shall be searched as well, and whether in the answers that are given, the answers that pleased our Lord shall be our answers, or if they shall be lies, as in the case of Judas Iscariot, if he had answered the same way the others answered. So, Father, prepare our hearts to comprehend these things. You know our sins. You promise that if we confess them, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Do that for us, our Father. And empower and prepare hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Our Savior does not expect you to know everything at the first, but he expects you to know certain things. Then, as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will ask you more things. When he first was dealing with the disciples, gathering them concerning the Savior, they could say this, we have found the Messiah, the one that Moses told us about in the Old Testament. Therefore, they knew him as the Messiah. But another man made a greater confession, Nathanael, but not all men had that knowledge and were prepared to say much more about him so soon after they had accepted him as the Messiah. So our Savior waits until a convenient time, and he knows precisely the time. And then, catching them off guard, he says, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they tell him. And then he says, But whom do you say that I am? He asks two questions. The first question was one of the questions he asked about those that are not his true disciples. What do men say about me? And they said various things. You're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. But the Savior wants you to understand that no matter what other men say about him, it is of no consequence. He wants to know what you say about him. And if you are one who says, well, I follow the teachings of this great learned man, and you mention a name and then say what he thought about the Lord Jesus, that is worthless. The Lord Jesus will listen and say, all right, now, whom do you say that I am? Well, I'm not in a position to evaluate. The Savior says, you must. So eventually, you're going to have to answer the question that our Savior asked, whom do you say that I am? Notice, he asks his 12 directly. He asks them personally, because it's so much easier if a question is asked you and you can tell him about what other people believe and so forth, and he never gets around to asking you. But he is not going to let us escape. He wants to know what you say about him. Whom do you say that he, the Son of Man, is? And I'm taking it that way because notice that he tells you who he is. He says, whom do you say that I am? And he had said, I, the Son of Man. He accepts that he is the Son of Man. He says, now, tell me, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? They could have answered, why, we believe that you're the Son of Man. But he wants to know more than that. He says, I am the Son of Man, but whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the answer comes forth from Peter. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus was satisfied with that, and he asked no more questions, but he spoke words of congratulation. Because for a man to look upon Jesus, to know about Jesus, and still confess him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is a thing that is impossible for a man to comprehend and speak truthfully from his heart without divine assistance. So if you say, I know who Jesus is, who is he? You say, he is Christ. He is the Son of the living God. It is impossible for any earthly man to ever come to that conclusion about our Savior without divine assistance. Because as soon as Peter said it, the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And you may have the finest teacher to lay before you the scriptures and prove conclusively that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But until the Father takes that truth and reveals it unto you, you will never understand. His own disciples, when they were told about his death and resurrection, it says they did not understand his words. So simple. He said, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to be shamefully treated. I have to be put to death. And I am to be raised from the dead the third day. Is that hard to understand? You say, it's quite clear. He's going to Jerusalem, be shamefully treated, put to death, and rise the third day. And he told them that again and again. And it says they did not understand the saying. Now, the enemies can understand the facts of it. But for the disciples to understand it, that results in eternal life. For man to understand who Jesus is, resulting in eternal life, is something that only comes from heaven. No man can come to the Savior except the Father that sent the Savior draw that man, and no man can understand who Jesus is unless it is revealed to him by the Father. So this puts man in a helpless condition. A learned man could say, well, I will take the Bible and read it, and I will tell you who Jesus is. With the natural learning that God has given man, he may say, now this Bible teaches, this book tells us. But for a man to say, as Peter did, to confess sincerely and with reality from his heart, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that takes a revelation from the Father. Now, do you know that about the Lord Jesus? And if you do not know that, then you do not belong to the Lord Jesus. I told you last week that some know the words. Some say, Lord, Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ is Lord. And some people, before they die, say, Lord, Lord. And some people, when they stand before him in judgment, are going to say, Lord, Lord. But that means nothing. And some people may write, this book teaches that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is not enough. But for you to read this book, to see the teaching of this book, and to embrace the truth of this book, that is eternal life. This is what John says. Many other signs, miracles truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it's not only an ascertaining with your mind, but it is an embracing of that truth, a believing that what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus is true. And if you have found it, and at times Satan can so confuse man, he's not able to see even what this book tells about the Lord Jesus. But others read it, and Satan lets them know what he's saying. And they have a reaction that is supernatural. Not a divine reaction, but a supernatural reaction, because the Savior speaks certain words. And it says the Pharisees sought to kill him because they knew that he was speaking these words concerning them. And on occasion, the Savior said, you are of your father, the devil. And they knew what he meant, and they picked up stones to stone him. And so the worldling knows what is involved in being called, you are of your father, the devil. The Christ rejecter knows what it is for him to say, I am the heir, I am the beloved son, because they said, this is the heir, let us kill him, and his inheritance shall be ours. And so it is not simply a mental comprehension. It is not knowing that the claims of Jesus Christ are true, because they knew that. They said, this is the heir. They're acknowledging him as the heir. They said, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. But it is searching the scriptures, seeing that God has told us in his inspired word who the Lord Jesus is, and then seeing, revealed from God, that it is true. And then when someone says, who is Jesus? What do you think about him? You say with conviction, with a revelation from God, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when a man says that, the Lord Jesus says, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. So search your soul and ask if you can honestly answer the Lord Jesus when he asks you personally, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Can you say, I believe that you are God's Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God? If so, then the matter of salvation is settled, and the Lord Jesus makes a pronouncement concerning you that this knowledge that you have is divine knowledge, and because of what you have said concerning him and it's being true, God is going to say certain things concerning you that are true. And one of them is this. If you do know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you die and the gates of hell close shut about you, they shall not prevail against you, because the Lord Jesus can burst those gates and bring forth those that are in hell, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. That's what the Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1. when John saw him and fell at his feet as one dead. And the Lord Jesus said, fear not. He said, I am the living one. I am the first and the last. He said, and I died, and I'm alive, and I have the keys of death and hell. And so, in brief, that's what he told them there. But when he comes to the funeral of Lazarus, he goes into detail. I do not know if Peter understood and if the 12 understood it when he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But understand, the gates are those gates that close upon a man when he leaves this world and goes into the next world, and the gates close about him. And there's no man who can get out of hell unless the Lord Jesus empowers him to prevail against those gates of hell. But the Lord Jesus says, I have the key. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter if gates shut upon me. If someone has the key and I say, I need to escape, and he who has the key comes and puts it in the lock and opens it, and I can come forth. It is a glorious thing if, as Peter, I'm in a prison and God can send an angel and open the door. But it is a more wonderful thing if I'm in the tomb. I am in the nether world. I am in the realm of the dead. And the Lord Jesus can take that key and open the door and let me out. And so if you know who Jesus is in this life, the Lord Jesus tells you that all will be well in the next life, because he is talking to Martha now and giving details that are contained in germ in Matthew 16. Now he tells something that he's never told before. He said something like it. He speaks in John 5 in these words. And listen to them, and then we can put the others together. He said, the hour cometh when all that are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. That's a profound statement. That someone can speak and the dead shall come forth. He hasn't used the word yet that he's going to use to Martha in John 11. But he said that same thing in John 5. He said that same thing in Matthew 16. The gates of hell, they are not going to prevail against you. All those that are in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. Then the gates of hell, death, the grave, shall not prevail, because the Savior has that voice. And now, in John 11, Mary and Martha are talking to our Lord, and they both have broken hearts. And Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And the Savior said to her, thy brother shall live again. Now, he meant one thing. She thought he meant another. She said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What comfort. The Savior is giving her immediate hope. And she thinks he's speaking in a general way, such as he spoke in John 5. The hour cometh when all that are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. Yes, Lord, I know that in the resurrection at the last day, I know that my brother will come forth. Now, in that setting, please understand the words that you hear most of the time at funerals. The Lord Jesus is at a funeral, and he has told her that her brother is going to rise. And she speaks about a resurrection at the last day. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, these are the words that we hear at funerals. And they're spoken to give comfort to those who are bereaved of their loved ones. But they give no comfort Because the Lord Jesus, having spoken those words, said, "Do you believe it?" You understand? He said, "This is the truth. Do you believe it?" And the Lord Jesus said, "I, the Son of Man, who am I? Do you believe it?" And so here is a question that he asked Martha. He asked her a question. He does not say in this instance, even, "Who am I, the Son of Man?" But he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he gives ramifications of that statement. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." What a statement to place upon a woman with a broken heart. And he says, "Do you believe that?" And she said, notice, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world." Then she matched the belief of Peter. "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The Lord Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And Martha says, "Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he that cometh into the world." And so here is one who gives an answer that is equal to the answer of Simon Peter. She is blessed as well. And that is a staggering confession. And while accepting it, I can assure you that she does not know all that is involved. She sees that our Savior is greater than all men that she knows about, but she does not know the full greatness of our Savior for this reason. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever you shall ask of God, he will give it to you." Now think of this. She's saying, here you are. You are a man among men, but you are greater than men. You can ask, and he will do what you ask him. The Lord Jesus said, "I do not have to ask him." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see the significance of that. Understand that it is true that Jesus, our Lord, speaks of his asking the Father. In John 14, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth." You understand? The Lord Jesus does ask the Father. The Lord Jesus is constantly praying. Why? On the cross he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But when we think that Jesus is just a man, an ordinary man, and he, as Elijah, has to supplicate God to get anything, it's not that way. Yes, he does ask the Father when he desires things, but he pulls himself up to his full stature when Martha would speak of his asking God for something that is outside of himself. And the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. What you want resides in me. I am what you are asking. I am the resurrection and the life." That is the claim to deity. And the Lord Jesus said, "As the Father hath life in himself, even as he communicated to the Son to have life in himself." The Lord Jesus says, "Yes, I'm the Son of the living God." We do not realize it, but in Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not." He said, "I am the living one." He's not speaking of the one who died and rose again there. He said, "I am the living one." And he's claiming to be the living God that is spoken of in the Old Testament. Come into the presence of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said to John at his feet, he said, "I am the living one." And in John chapter 11, when Martha is saying, "Now I know that you'll ask God, he will give you things." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Understand that he is directing her eyes upon himself. And this is either blasphemy or it is a truthful claim to be the Son of God manifest in the flesh. And he is going to presently show her whether it is a false claim or a true claim. But now think, for the first time in the history of man, this plain declaration is made that God has sent his Son, and among the many things that the Lord Jesus is, he is the resurrection and the life. All judgment is committed into his hands. He has the power. He has the keys of death and hell. And not only is he the resurrection and the life, he has authority over his own life. This is what he said in John chapter 10. He said, "No man takes my life away from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." The Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Even though being man, he must become man in order to die. He said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." He said, "This commandment received I of my Father." But some of God's followers, believers in Christ, are not aware of the fullness of him, that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he is God manifest in the flesh. And he is telling this to Martha. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's what John said in chapter 1. It said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." It said, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He is the source of all physical life, and he is the source of all spiritual life. And that is who he is. He said, "I am the resurrection. Not I am able to raise from the dead. Why, Elijah and Elisha have raised from the dead." But the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." And at the same time, people have preached the gospel and men have become recipients of eternal life. But the Lord Jesus said, "I am that life." Yes, he raises from the dead, but he is the resurrection as well as one who raises from the dead. Yes, he imparts life. But the life that he imparts is his own life, because he is the resurrection and the life. And he says, "Do you believe that?" And she said, "Yea, Lord." She does not know all that's involved, because she does not quote his words again. But she says, "Yes, Lord, I have enough faith to believe that what you are telling me is true. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God that comes into the world." Now, this is a consolation for all of us who find it difficult to comprehend everything the Lord tells us in his word. But if he tells us things that we cannot fully comprehend, that seem too wonderful, and he says, "Do you believe that?" We can say, "Lord, I do believe this. I believe that you can do all things, that nothing is outside the power of thy hand. I cannot set it out in order, but I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. Yes, Lord, I believe." And the Lord will accept that. Later on, the Savior and his greatness will be understood more clearly. But right now, the Lord will accept that this confession is sufficient to do what that woman asked. You see, she said, "Lord, I know my brother shall rise at the last day." And the Lord said, "I am the resurrection. You do not have to wait until the last day." And within a few minutes, he who is the resurrection and the life shall say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who was dead comes forth, bound, head and foot. And the Savior says, "Release him and let him go." And I'll tell you why. I know that Martha did not fully comprehend, because when the Savior went to where the dead man lay, he said, "Remove that stone." And Martha said, "No, Lord, it will be so embarrassing. His body has begun to decay." And the Savior said, "Did I not say unto you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And her mouth is silenced. Go ahead. And then the Lord Jesus proves, not that he's going to be raised at the last day, but right now, when his voice, the voice of the Son of God, speaks, man shall come forth in this life if he wishes. And in that coming day, all shall come forth from the tombs. Now, that is the consolation. Understand, we bury our loved ones, and our Savior's voice is silent. But he says the time, the hour is going to come when all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And he has spoken his voice, and Lazarus has heard his voice, and Lazarus has come forth. And so he has demonstrated that he is the resurrection. And therefore, not by faith, but by sight, I have a promise from God. However much I have loved this one, and I see that one that is dust, and that is going to return to dust, I know that whenever he who is the resurrection and the life speaks, that one shall come forth. He has the keys of death and hell, and the Lord Jesus has been given all authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now this, the Lord Jesus has asked questions and said wonderful things about himself. And Peter can say, yes, I believe. And Martha can say, yes, I believe. But in John 6, our Savior is telling wonderful things about himself. He said, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven. And I am that bread, and if you eat this bread, it is life for your soul. And in brief, this. After our Savior told them, as to his origin, I came down from heaven. And he said, I'm going back to heaven again. He said, I'm the true bread. I'm the bread of God. I'm the living bread. And when these disciples heard him make those statements, they said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And they turned their back on him, went away, and walked no more with the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus turns to the 12, and he says, will you go away? But with the confidence knowing that they would not go away. And then again, Peter is their spokesman, and praise God for this man, as to what he said in Matthew 16, and as to what he said in John chapter 6. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? And he has asked a question that the Son of God cannot answer. He said, Lord, you ask us if we're going away, tell us, to whom shall we go? The Lord Jesus would have to say, there's nobody to whom you can go. And then Peter would say, then that's the reason that we're not going, Lord. You have the words of eternal life. Now, are these your convictions? Are these the answers that you shall give if Jesus asked you personally, who am I? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you have sent from heaven one who can tell us who he is and then demonstrate it. And you can challenge our souls and ask us things that are impossible to believe without divine assistance. But we are glad that we have seen that in the heart of a man and in the heart of a woman, the Spirit of God is at work, and they can say with truth that we believe that you are all that you say you are. And we are thankful that he has proved it to be so. May all of us here this morning, when we are asked these questions, be able to give those positive answers that are true answers, and then all the blessed promises that are associated with them shall be ours. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.